I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to October's Very Own, the podcast about Drake. The only podcast about Drake that we know of that is now taking a special edition to talk about Drake some more, I guess. Welcome to Noisy. We have a few members of the team here to bring this podcast back in honor of crazy, wonderful, extravagant year that Drake has had. Who do we have in here on the pod?
Hello, I am Colin Joyce. I know some things about Drake. I write and edit for Noisy.
Hey, I'm Trey Smith. I'm a social editor at Noisy and general weed smoker advice.
The famous crab smoker.
Yeah. I definitely have. You've never seen Drake do that, but I feel like he'd be into it. So maybe he and I aren't as different as I think we are.
Well, Noisy's already established that Drake can't smoke weed, so. But it's me, Kristen Corey. I am a staff writer here at Noisy, newcomer to the pod.
Welcome to the pod.
Thanks.
Yeah, welcome to the pod.
So why are we doing this again?
Well, I can't believe we're doing this again. After we talked about Drake every day for the month of October in 2017, we drove ourselves crazy. We imagined, what were some of the highlights? We imagined what Drake's Saturdays were like. We imagined what Drake's Sundays were like. We went pretty deep on his...
Those are the highlights of this podcast.
Those are y'all sing him happy birthday.
The content that we bring...
We went deep on his production skills. There was some serious stuff, some funny stuff. You know, it was a whole big whirlwind.
I was only on one episode, and it was imagining what music Drake listens to, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which is a weird concept for a podcast episode, if you think about it, because you can probably Google that.
Yeah, indeed.
But you know, we had a whole month to fill, so.
Yeah. And you're probably, you know, the loyal OVO heads out there.
Wait, isn't OVO Radio a podcast about Drake?
No, that's a Beats One show about Drake.
Okay. No affiliation.
No affiliation. You're probably, all the loyal listeners out there are probably wondering where Dan Ozzie is. Dan Ozzie declined to talk about Drake again because he, I think, got enough of it.
I actually have a statement here that I would read, but it's actually just a gif of Lou Gehrig's retirement speech. Yeah. Lou Gehrig did retire because he was incredibly ill, and I don't know if that's what Dan was trying to communicate, but I'll leave that up to you to determine. So either way, he's the luckiest man on
really
the face of the earth.
Just yeah. Sick of Drake. That's what I love.
I think it broke him last year.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah. I mean, we're here talking about Drake again, and I don't know why. But tomorrow is Drake's birthday. When you're listening to this, actually, today is Drake's birthday. So we thought this would be a really great opportunity to discuss what the hell has gone on with Drake over the last year. Because I think, in hindsight, we maybe picked the wrong year to do October's Very Own because...
Drake didn't really do anything in 2017.
And he did all of the things.
Yeah, we couldn't have predicted this, man. It's not our fault. It's Drake's fault.
Yeah. So why don't we just kind of go top line down maybe some of the major things that we're going to talk about on this podcast. First is, Drake put out a new album this year called Scorpion. It's pretty
Never heard of it.
It's pretty long. It's pretty good, in my opinion, but we'll get into that. There's a bit of a beef that's been going on between a rapper named Pusha T and Drake, which has been pretty fun to watch if you're any sort of fan of entertainment or rap music
opera.
Or whatever. Or
Bullying.
Opera. Yeah. Kanye and Drake, which is kind of connected to the Pusha T Drake thing, but they've kind of got their own thing going on. Rumors that Drake has a relationship with Kim Kardashian, other stuff. You Are Hiding a Child. I guess that was
probably the bar of the year.
The bar of the year. Yeah. We have a note here that's just Drake and underage women with an exclamation point.
We're really just starting with pure libel and slander.
So why don't we start off with the rapper named Pusha T?
Virginia Beach's very own. Probably not their best because Missy Elliott's from Virginia Beach, but one of the greats from Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. It's been around for like, what, like a good damn near 20 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Drake should have known what he was getting into, man.
Mm-hmm.
So where did it start?
I think it started with, like, one time Pusha T didn't like the sneakers Lil Wayne wore, and then...
I think it was a Bape sweater.
Bape, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was Bape-related, and then somehow T-shirt beef turned into people's entire lives getting exposed.
Mm-hmm. And so Pusha T released...
That's really on brand for Drake, actually, that it would snowball like that.
And it was like over a decade ago at this point. But one would argue maybe that it was Pusha T who kind of couldn't let this stuff go. But Pusha T put a response... I mean, everybody knows this. Pusha T put a response on his album, Daytona, which came out at the end of May.
But that was retaliation for Two Birds, One Stone.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was retaliation for something else.
Yeah.
And this is just like, yeah, this is like the, what was Romeo and Juliet families, the Capulets and the Montagues?
Mm.
Yeah, this is like, nobody knows how it started, man, but people still thumbing their noses at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Pusha T thumbed his nose at Drake. With a song called Infrared, in which he kind of called out all of Cash Money, said he was going to put him in caskets. Oh, wait. Yeah. And then so that very day that Daytona came out and that disc came out, Drake responded immediately to Pusha T with a song called Duppy Freestyle that was... kind of a banger.
It was great when it came out. I remember being at someone's house and we listened to it on a loop, like on the TV. It was an amazing time, but it was just like, I feel like he reacted a little too fast.
Yeah. Push kind of baited him. He pulled him in and then...
And he thought it was a Meek situation.
Yeah.
He thought he could back-to-back his way out of it.
Yep. It sounds a little bit like back-to-back. It's kind of got that same swagger. I was in Toronto, actually, when... that released, and I remember I was with my girlfriend's family, and I just like went off and listened to it in the bathroom with my headphones on, and I was just like, wow, like, and it felt very.
But you went to the bathroom, like, just
just to listen. I mean, I was in my girlfriend's dad's apartment. Yeah,
I mean,
it's
work. You work in music. You have to know these things. I'm sure they would have understood.
I don't know.
You're pretending like you're taking a dump just listening to Drake.
And he didn't just listen one time.
Eric was pretending to take a dump.
I'm like in Toronto panicking because I like was so stoked on Push's original, like very, very first disc. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't believe Drake did this again. And I mean, I thought it was like over immediately. And I think a lot of people responded that way too. They were like, oh my God, this is so fire.
Nah, I remember Exodus 23, verse 1. Like, yeah, that song was just like, that's when Drake should have known that like, hey, this is going to be like the next 5 years of my life if I respond to this in any shape mm-hmm. or form. So let me just, who has the time?
Mm-hmm.
Drake thought he did. And it. Mm.
Yeah. So then 2 days go by and Pusha T responds. And I don't think I've ever experienced that kind of thing as a rap fan and a rap journalist, like over the like in my professional career, watching that happen and listening to that song for the first time,
you have to add the blackface, the imagery.
So yeah. I saw that before I heard the song for sure.
Yeah, Yeah, it was like immediately we pulled it up, started like that image, which is just so twisted.
God. And I thought it was Photoshop at first too, and then Pusher, like, as soon as I thought that, he tweeted out, "This is not Photoshop. This is the actual image." And it was just like, wait, God, he's a better journalist than all of us.
Yeah, man. And in that song, Pusha T, one reveals that Drake is hiding a child. But that's not even that wasn't even like the biggest thing that happened in that song.
What was bigger than that?
Well, when he insulted 40 for having...
But people knew, you know...
It's true.
You know 40's sick. You didn't know Drake was hiding a child.
It's true. It just kind of felt piling it on one another where it was like, oh my God, not only is he saying he's hiding a child, he's also ticking for his friend's death.
He used his tag to like make fun of him too. It was like 666.
Yeah.
What else did he say on that song? He said you were hiding a child. He came at Drake's parents.
Yeah.
He said his mom was unwifeable. Like, that's pretty fucked up.
So why do you guys think that diss was so effective? Because it was just the meanest thing that's ever happened, or?
People thought Drake was untouchable. And, like, when you pair the imagery, you pair, like, the whole title of the song, people are like, what the hell does this even mean? And then it was just, like, the way he packaged it was literally just, like, like you said, Colin, it was like a soap opera. It was just like, oh my gosh, he's saying more, and then there's more, and then there's freaking more. And it's like, we all gave Drake not the benefit of the doubt, but like we watched him prevail in the whole Meek situation. And it was also just like a turn of events of like Meek's life kind of getting back on track. So it was just kind of like the universe was just not really in Drake's favor in this case.
He's just so good at controlling his own image. Like that's like one of his greatest skills as a public figure. And I mean that's true of a lot of public figures, I guess. But I feel
he's like the best.
He's a master at it.
Listen, nobody would have dug this up on Beyonce.
Right, right. He's so good at keeping these stories that, I mean, there were like TMZ items about him possibly having a child and stuff like that, but he was good at like somehow like shedding that stuff and not having it become part of his image. And for Pusha T to puncture that, I think that's what made it so striking, is that like, oh shit, like he's actually like a real person. Mm-hmm. He's got all this stuff. Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
but like, it was, Pusha had an answer for everything. Like, Drake tried to write that little note afterwards, be like, well, I know everyone's enjoying the circus. And it was like, oh, God, like, I kind of feel bad.
Yeah.
For just, I'm just like a pig in filth right now, man. I'm loving this shit.
Yeah.
And like, you could just tell he was like somewhat defeated in that. And he gave that whole thing about like, this is us trying to bring attention to problems African American actors go through. And Pusha T was like, number one, you're Canadian. Yeah, don't worry about African Americans. Y'all got your own problems. Second off, like, you've been around for how long? And this is the first time I ever heard about you talking about black issues. And it was like, yeah, and just watching the Drake, like, stands just scramble. Mm-hmm. Just go like, oh, Pusha T's old. He's an old bitch. Mm-hmm. Who cares about us? It was like, well, he kind of just killed the guy who's basically your dad, so, yeah.
It not only, like, fucked up, like, that public image thing, but it also seems to have messed up his album rollout to some degree, because a lot of the stuff... This is the vague recollection that I have of the reporting around this. So maybe direct your corrections to at Eric Sundy on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, that's Colin's Twitter.
that a lot of the record was finished, and the tracks that people took as him addressing Pusha T's diss were theoretically finished before the diss happened.
On the LeBron show, he said that Scorpion was 60% done.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it wasn't.
So he said
all the way there,
right? So he said it was 60% done, and he said that March 14th had already been made,
mm-hmm.
and Kanye had already heard it or whatever. So I mean, that's what I would have thought. Like I said, I don't listen to Side A, so that's like
right.
I don't ever listen to it ever again. But that's what I thought on Side B was like. Okay, well. Maybe he, like, felt like he had to address this, because I just personally didn't see, before this whole Pusha T thing happened, I didn't foresee, like, Drake is going to announce that he has a child on this album. Do you know what I mean?
Right. No, and, but totally. Imagine it did play out the way that Drake said it did. That would have just been such a big gut punch reveal on mm-hmm. the album, and Pusha T just ruined that.
Yeah.
Like, right.
If nothing else.
Also ruined his Adidas deal.
Yeah. I think that's when he was going to introduce the kid.
Yeah.
Like, was it Adonis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
his name is You Are Hiding a Child.
What do you think he's going to have to say about this someday?
Man, that is none of my business.
It sound like Drake's planning on talking to him. Like, in that song, he's like, I mean, we'll talk when you get old enough. Like, okay, so when? When the kid's like fucking 13, 18? Like, when do you plan on talking to this child?
Do you guys think, is there any part of you that wonders, like, did he go too far?
No.
There's been the whole thing about their rules to the society, and Drake tried to say as much, and it's like, yeah, but you're kind of the one who broke the rules first, man. It's like, if I have something with somebody, I have it with them. I don't have it with them and then their family and then also their friends and all. Like, if you and I have a problem, it's you and I have a problem. We got to work this out.
So you think that it became okay for Push to go to that level when he, like, started introducing the, like, we mentioned Push's fiance in the song.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah, I don't think you could throw a fist full of shit at somebody and then be mad when they pick you up and throw you in a pool of it. Like, I think, like, yeah, there's no, like, yeah, if somebody hits you, you're not going to hit them back just as hard. It's like, nah, it's one of us has to die. You know,
I was. It was amazing seeing, because then that was the week that the Kanye album came out as well, and I just the reaction and the ripple effect of it all was pretty amazing to watch. Like I feel like that was something. Well, one, You Are Hiding a Child has like entered the lexicon of just.
Bro, I've just been saying that to people to arguments, man.
Yeah, like, you're hiding a child. It was like, which is crazy. But then two, you know, like comedians like. If Saturday Night Live was on, like, they would have made jokes about the beef. Like, I feel like it made, like, CNN headlines. I don't know if that's true, but it was just, like, it was everywhere. And, I mean, I remember when we published the response and, like, our, you know, the writing about it, like, the traffic on it was just, like, through the roof. Like, I guess, I mean, I think it's to what Colin was talking about earlier, where it's just, like, Drake had been kind of so untouchable and so curated and so, and it was just like Push, just like he's the only one who maybe could have done that, but it was just like kind of, it was like amazing to watch as just like a fan of rap and like pro wrestling, and you know, it was just like, wow, I cannot believe someone dethroned someone so badly.
And
but
like,
is he dethroned though? Because it's almost like the album came out, you know, people like had their own decisions about like what might have been already made or like what was altered from Pusha, but it's like people just genuinely will not stop with Drake, you know, and I'm wondering how detrimental a diss has to be at this point, or like what kind of dirt would have to come out about him for Drake to be canceled, and I don't know that even exists at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a stain on his career forever, in my opinion. Like, I don't think he's, you know, obviously Drake's going to sell, like, he's going to go number one, and he's going to have a number one single. Like, and I think even Push spoke on that in an interview. He did an interview with Craig Jenkins.
So
he did a lot of interviews, yeah. He did an interview with Craig Jenkins at Vulture, and I think in that interview he was like, look, man, like, you got the number one record, like you got it, like, good job, like, you know, you've got top streaming, like, whatever. It's, he's not even like really concerning himself with that, and I think that's what allows him to do it so effectively, is because he's like, yeah, Drake, you're the number one artist in the world, but I don't really care, and I'm gonna like still be able to cut through with like truth or whatever that means, and I think that's why he was able to hit so effectively.
It's like, even as Drake's gone on the defensive about, like, you talked about LeBron showing, though, even after that, Pusha was like, no, tell these people the truth. 40 gave me the info. Mm-hmm. Which is like, I really don't know if that's true or not, but it's just funny as fuck. Like,
he's just fucking with him now, man. On a 4-hour podcast with Joe Budden.
That no one probably listened to in full.
No way.
God. But, like, it's just been an entire thing to watch where Drake, for some reason, will never get away from this. He'll try to, like, he'll come back in a year and, like, make a comment about it again or something, and then that's just, like, Pusha T, I promise you, he has, like, Apple News notifications. Like, he just wants to know immediately, like, every time, like, his name leaves Drake's mouth. And
I think that's appropriate. I think, though, like, if you're going to position yourself to be, like, someone like Push, who is, you know, doing all of these cocaine bars and street rap and all that kind of stuff, you absolutely need to bully your opponent until they cannot be bullied anymore. I feel like, I mean, Jabari ran that piece about being a villain. You can't half-ass be a villain. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do it and your opponent is going to be somebody as big as Drake, go balls to the wall. Have your RSS feeds. Have your alerts. Like, be diligent.
Hire your investigative journalists.
Exactly. Go to journalism school. Like, do what you have to do. And it's just like that wall of Drake is not going to be penetrated unless someone is like, I'm not going to stop until this guy is annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this works for Drake, though? Like, this whole beef, despite all the puncturing or whatever, I feel like it just, the idea that there's someone who's in a very petty way trying to destroy him is just so in line with the themes of his music over the years. It just, like, it's like proving everything that he's already said.
I don't know.
I believe it, though. Because before, it's like, Drake, you're so fucking corny. Like, who's hating on, you know what I mean? It was just like, but who feels like this? It kind of felt like, you know, the kid at school who's like, oh, I have all those Jordans. My mom said I can't wear them. But it's like, now I actually believe it. It's like, okay, now, like you're saying, it's playing to the story, and I'm happy that everybody's able to see it unfold. And I guess if it gives him some, like, I don't know, street cred, because that's not something Drake has ever had.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when If You're Reading This, It's Too Late came out, it was like, oh, okay, Drake, you're being big and bad, but, like, I still don't believe you halfway. Yeah. But now it's like, okay, you have an opponent, and I'm happy to see this play out, but if he destroys you, he just does.
Like, right. I guess that's what I mean is, like, this seems to do something for Drake's narrative. Like, now
I don't think it does.
No?
I think he like, when he spoke in the LeBron interview, like, he's clearly so annoyed and, like aggravated by this. Like, it's kind of like this pain in his side that just won't go away. Like, he can tour the world with the Three Migos and, like, perform on a fucking iPhone screen and, like, have drones fly all over arenas and sell that out and do all of those things, but he's still, like, got that pain in his side, you
For
know?
Some reason, that's not enough for him, because, like, he wants everything, including, like, he wants just, like, to be able to walk through any hood and be, like, just adorned with love and everything, and it's like, nah, man, it's like, you gotta pick and choose. You gotta pick and choose, man.
And, I mean, he started off in Degrassi. Like, I'm pretty sure he knew something like this was going to happen. Like, people were going to try to poke at your credibility just off the fact of you being a child actor. You know what I mean?
It's telling that the first thing that came out after the diss was that...
The Pusha T mic?
The video that was the Degrassi reunion. Do you...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing there.
Well, and yeah. I think it's like, if you look at the actual diss... The Push diss, the first lines are like, let's talk about your pride. Like, he's like, let's, like, ghostwriting aside, like, all these things, like, all these things that Drake seems to, like, be so defensive about. He's like, yeah, but, like, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about, like, your character as a human being, you know? And it's like, shit. Well, so why don't we move on? I mean, we'll keep talking about this for sure, but I think the next thing we have on our list, because as far as the timeline goes, is a few weeks after Drake's career was ended, he put out the most popular and streamed album of the year, I think.
I don't know if I've seen that number, but it just has to be true.
It must be. Yeah.
Because, so the stat that I saw this week, because Drake's always breaking Billboard stats
every week.
The one that was this week was that he broke the Beatles record for most top 10 songs in a year.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram from his Instagram. His
<Of course.
laughs> his high school teacher texted him congratulations about that.
I can't even name 10 songs on Scorpion for what it's worth.
They're like 30, so
yeah.
Yeah, wait, 30 too much.
So do we think, what's the consensus on Scorpion?
I've listened to about 4 or 5 songs on it. Like, I've talked to all of you about this, man, but don't give me a fucking album longer than The Lion King, man. Like, don't, this shit should not feel like watching a movie with no visuals on it, you know? Like, I heard Nice for What? Nonstop slaps.
Nonstop is...
but that's like mostly Tay Keith. Like, mm-hmm. I could have listened to a lot of other people on that beat. But luckily for Drake, he got that one. And then, like, what else is on? I didn't really like God's Plan when it came out, and then that's about all I can think of off that album off the top of my head.
So, I want to talk about my first listen to Scorpion, because I actually, for maybe through masochism or wanting to do my job right, I stayed up until it came out on that Thursday night, and I was playing Call of Duty Black Ops 3 online, and had the sound effects of the game in one headphone, and another headphone I had Scorpion. It was pretty much the
it was the
ideal listening situation for that
Colin
record.
You're a psychopath, right?
Because it's, I think, music that you're not really supposed to listen to all that closely. It just sounds really good and is a very good like lifestyle soundtrack record, which is like what Drake has always been about, is like kind of like a feeling or like an accoutrement to like the aspirational thing that he projects, whatever level of believability there is in that. So sitting on the floor of my apartment listening to Scorpion for the first time playing Call of Duty,
yeah,
I thought it was great. And then I didn't listen to it again until today.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say on the first listen, like, not that I wasn't impressed by the first side. It just also, like, his bars just weren't really there for me. Like, the just rhyme schemes, rhyme patterns, it fell a little bit flat. Because, like, on the hard side, just like, okay, it's not really connecting for me, but okay. Side B, you had your typical Drake, your Nice for What, your In Your Feelings, which, City Girls, hello. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just happy that he put them on. But, like, that was the more memorable side for me. But again, that wasn't an album where it was just like, oh, I'm feeling away. Like, let me put on Scorpion. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes maybe I'll put on side B, but I won't. It's not, I don't not skip. You know what I mean? And a Drake album hasn't had an effect for me to not skip in a very long time.
His albums just for a couple in a row have been so engaged with the streaming ecosystem. And I don't think that he made any effort to change that up on this record.
Oh, no. We all saw Spotify's homepage.
Yeah, yeah,
the day
for
it
sure.
dropped. And they had him like
on the gospel?
Yeah, they had him on like the cover of the gospel playlist and stuff. And it's like, this, I don't know what's going on here, man. But Drake is clearly at this point where he's too big to lose.
How old is Drake today? Well, will he be? When they listen?
32, I believe. He's a year older than me. I don't know why I know that. Just off the top of my head.
You know, you're the thread in this. He's a year older than you. Kanye and you share the same birthday.
We don't share the same birthday. I'm like, we have the same birthday month.
Birthday
We're both
month.
Geminis.
Sorry. Oh, Gemini, you too.
Yuck. Yeah, I mean, my listen to Scorpion was kind of like, I just kept hearing "You Were Hiding a Child" like the whole time, you know. Like it was just like the first. There's so many. It feels like you're just like kind of like. My first listen, I was like, okay, this is kind of like if my nephews were like, really like trying to tell me that they're really tough, you know, like and I because I just couldn't get it out of my head that like his career had just like I mean that push had just dissed him so goddamn hard, and. And it was just like, wow, man, like, he's just, like, trying to prove so much and just being like, no, I'm, like, really cool, man. Like, I'm really awesome. Like, I got women. It just, like, very, like, the like, corny Drake bars felt, like, especially corny after that. And then the fact that it was, like, so long was just, like kind of hit me. It just hit me in, I don't know. It was just not... It wasn't the kind of reaction that I've had to previous Drake albums. And, like, my reaction to previous Drake albums is that, like, each one is awesome and I can't stop listening to it, like, the first couple weeks that it comes out. So I think, like, that, I don't know, it definitely felt different. I thought it was going to be good. Like, I thought he was going to deliver because he had so much to prove. And I, like, it was kind of his legacy was on the line a bit with it. But he just didn't.
That's the thing. He had stuff to prove to other people, but he knew if he just banked on his fans, he would be fine. And, you know, it's not to say he's like Trump, but it was the same way Trump just spent his time appealing to white people that election, and it worked out for him. Yeah.
The other thing for me, and I think about this often when I think to play the album that I don't actually play, I always think, like, damn, remember that time Drake made an album about how he hated the woman that he made a child with, like he wasn't there, like he didn't participate in the sex? You know what I mean? And it's just like, if we're, you know, if we're going to have the conversation about Nicki Minaj being too old to make an album like Queen, or too old to be engaging in any of the shenanigans that she does, if Drake is 32 and Nicki Minaj is 35, do we not hold him to the same standard of, like, okay, Drake, that's what happens when two consenting adults have sex. Like, they have unprotected sex, they have kids, and that's what happens. And it just felt like, going back to your comment about your nephews, it feels like an album from an 18-year-old rapper. Like, damn, I got trapped. Like,
yeah,
bro, you're the fucking biggest rapper in the world. Girls are going to want to trap you. This is what happens. Like, deal with it. Move on. Make an awesome record. You didn't do that, and that's okay. But, like, I don't want to hear about it for 30 songs.
Like, all the Instagram bars. That was enough for me. That.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What was it? Like, she goes to Rome, but just Instagrams for people at home.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, 18-year-olds on Twitter, like, damn, Drake really nailed this generation.
Whoa.
And it was like, motherfucker, like, he knows what he's doing. And, like, respect to him for it, man, but, yeah. Maybe he's more like the Ted Cruz of rap.
We're just doing our best to compare Drake to various Republicans.
Or politicians. Yeah.
Or politicians in general, man. We could talk about who else. So I'm not going to say that person's name.
not to pivot too hard, but speaking about Drake as potential man-child, one of his other big moments this year was streaming Fortnite with Ninja.
Mm.
Or when he called Logic out?
I don't know if I'm aware of that. It was a long stream.
I think there was one point where he was like, tell Logic, come get it too. And it was like, "What? How did Logic end up in this, man? Damn."
So for what it's worth, March 14th is the song in which he addresses his child. On either March 13th or 15th, he was streaming Fortnite with Ninja. Not drawing any conclusions there, but
we're just going to leave those facts for the listener to kind of connect the dots there.
Drake, not very good at Fortnite, from my professional opinion.
Yeah. He's
the expert.
Yeah, Colin's a gamer.
So it's interesting, though, because we're sitting here talking about how Scorpion is so bloated and not very good, or, you know, it's definitely, I think it's, my personal opinion is that, I mean, I think the general critical consensus of it is very, like, what, meh, you know, like, what we're kind of talking about.
I still think it
about.
Sounds great. I think I think that it might have better beat selection than any other Drake project.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Totally.
However, not much content
to
it.
But yet, it's still sat at number one for, you know, all of the summer, and he got a number one song off of it. He's probably got more number one songs to come from it. So I guess my question to you guys would be, like, how was he able to do this again?
A viral video, viral dance.
You think it was all the dance?
I don't think it was all the dance, but that definitely helped him a lot. You know, I feel like once people were learning that dance, Pusha T, who? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of was just like, oh, I don't even remember. The demographic that was doing that dance heavy, they don't remember what happened, what Pusha said. You know what I mean?
Especially when Will Smith and, like, Odell are also doing the dance and stuff, you know?
Exactly.
It's like there's just too much star power there for anything to really cut through. And, like, you know, I mean, like, we've talked about it before, but he's basically Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happened, like, we all thought that Kim K got Taylor out of here when she played, like, the video of the phone call and showed that Taylor was lying and all. And that didn't move the needle at all. It just made them more rabid, or made the Swifties more rabid, and, like, to get Taylor back to the top. And, yeah, Drake legit has stans now.
Yeah.
And not just, like, rap stans where it's just, like, some old dude, like, out on the block in a Pele Pele coat yelling about, like, yo, he's got bars, man. You don't know about that. I'll throw a whole Timbaland at you.
That's but, like, New York slander, first of all.
I apologize to any people still wearing Tims and Pele Peles. Please do not throw one at me. But, like, yeah, it's he's just in that whole kind of sphere with, like, the Swifties and the, what are Ariana Grande fans?
Grandes?
Grandes.
What are they?
I don't know. But like, yeah, Gaga's Monsters and like BTS Army and shit.
Do Drake fans have a name?
The Aubreys?
The Aubreys?
I don't think so.
Six Disciples?
Do people actually, like... I don't think people mobilize in the same way for Drake that they...
That's what... I mean, I think your point about it just kind of, like, sounding good. And, like, I'm sure that... I mean, it just, like, you just put it on.
People,
and it just
kind of rides. I feel like he's kind of just, like, ambient. Not ambient music, but just, like in the way that... You have to breathe the air. Mm-hmm. You have to let Drake in some ways, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting. Alphonse Pierre, who's now a staff writer at Pitchfork, shout out to Alphonse. He wrote a story for Noisy before he went over there earlier this summer, and he pitched the headline to me, and it was just Drake hit a damn child and still dodged a bullet. And I think that piece kind of really did a good job kind of highlighting the things that we're talking about, where it's just like, he's like Walmart, you know, or like he is this like huge entity that just the force is just moving and it can't even, it will never be stopped. There will be like stains on his legacy and like, you know, real heads maybe think differently about Drake or whatever, but
he has inertia.
Yeah. Yes. So Drake is fossil fuels is what we're getting at.
Yeah. I think that's all the right conclusion that we've made. So I guess in other people who are too big to fail, we'll see. But Kanye West and Drake have seemed to have a little bit of things going on, which is obviously stems from
a few things.
The Pusha T things connected all this as well. But, you know, there's a lot of gossip headlines out there. You know, there's rumors that things are going on behind the scenes. But I'm kind of curious what your guys' general thoughts are on Kanye West and Drake at this very moment.
I think Kanye summer is the luckiest thing that could have happened to Drake this summer. it's pretty obvious why, you know, like, we'd probably still be talking about the Adidas line getting shut down and everything if Kanye wasn't out here. We don't have to get into it. We know what the fuck is out here.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. That is, man, that's a whole nother season of a podcast. But like, yeah, this whole whatever you want to call it is going on with him. It provided a whole bunch of distractions and gave Drake something else to be like, oh, I'm the villain. Like, I'm having a bad time. Look at this fucking guy over here.
I'm not even wearing a hat right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Also on the LeBron clip, he made it seem like Kanye strategically placed those albums around his release, right? That's at least how that.
I believe that too.
I think Kanye and Drake just fucking hate each other. Even though, I feel like there was mutual respect at one point.
They worked together this year.
Yeah, they did indeed. But I think it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, they just don't like being around each other. But they kind of know that they've got talent that can bounce off of each other, you know?
You should write this fanfic, Eric.
What, Kanye and Drake hanging out?
Yeah.
What do you think they do?
You ever notice how cheese is a square, man? It's like, yeah, I have. Like, yeah. It's like, you don't think that's weird?
Who are you doing right now?
Who do you think? I'll let you decide that.
My official Drake Kanye opinion is just like, yeah. That's about as articulate as I can get on it.
Like,
yeah. I don't know. Like, what is there to say about Kanye in 2018? Like,
a whole lot.
Yeah, man. It's just like, I honestly don't think that the gossip headlines are a thing that's actually happened. I think it's a thing that very could well have happened and maybe about to happen. Kanye keeps acting like he does, but.
Which are you referring to?
Yeah, the one where Drake allegedly crept down the block and
made a right
and hit the lights. But
like, we all wondering who Kiki is. I think is that that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, if we want to just keep getting more, we just want to keep getting like less, you know, about this. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I think Kanye really needs to get his shit together. and he sees Drake out here too big to fail and about to be like the artist of the generation, and he's freaking out because...
I don't think so, though, because Kanye doesn't think he can fail either. Like, that New York Times article, like, that interview when he was just like, yeah, I'm not getting canceled. Like, these people are sheep. He knows that at this point, regardless if he loses his core fan base, he's still going to have... they're going to be replaced with, like, MAGA fans or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, there's still going to be fans who are, like... going to go crazy for him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he cares. I think at the end of the day, it's not a matter of who the fans is. He just wants the adoration. You know?
God, that's sad. God. Yeah, all love isn't good love, man.
It's just
is that
weird.
A Drake line?
I don't think it is, but we could double check that.
Just weird to see the trajectory of just, like, Drake wouldn't exist without 808s. All the Kanye, like, worship on his mixtapes and all that kind of stuff, just to see how this is all snowballed into something that nobody probably saw coming.
Oh, God. What a simpler time.
What a simpler time.
Auto-tune, come back.
This would have there's the thing. This would have never happened if Kanye hadn't dissed T-Pain and tried to ruin him. So
maybe this is also Jay-Z's fault.
I think some. Maybe we should have never some way. Auto-tune. I mean, Push does rap on a beat from a Jay-Z song.
A butterfly flaps its wings in Calabasas.
So, what do you guys think is going to happen? Do you have any predictions?
What, between Kanye and Drake?
Heat death of the universe.
Yeah, I think global warming happens and none of this matters anymore.
It's true. But until then...
They're just going to post a fake-ass picture with a dumb-ass caption, and everybody's going to go crazy in the comments with some sort of... There's going to be some emoji that represents both of them.
Think pieces will be written.
We'll write a blog about it.
Yeah, we'll blog about it.
I think the funniest thing that could happen is Watch the Throne 2 is Jay and Drake, just out of spite.
That would definitely be the funniest thing that could happen out of this.
And then Kanye's got to go get, like, fucking Big Sean for his Watch the Throne. Like, yeah.
Big Sean, why didn't he get an album this summer? Nobody asked for it, but I thought about it the other day, like, damn.
Big Sean got the gift of getting to stay out of all of this.
Yeah. Big Sean probably saw this shit going on and was like,
You know who should have gotten a release during that time? 2 Chainz.
You were going to say designer.
He would have done well.
You sure you didn't mean designer?
I'm positive.
Man. Yeah, who was it the other day on a podcast? Well, not the other day, but like a little while ago on a... Oh, yeah. Again, somebody I don't feel like talking about his name. But one of a internet personality who is frequently on Twitch and has bad opinions.
That's
most people on Twitch.
Yeah. The round one.
Yes, the one who Erica Badu said looks like Jerry the Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was trying to talk about designer has more bars than Future. And so, yeah, I also agree that designer should have got a release this year just to put that whole argument to rest.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've kind of gone through a lot here, but we've barely even really scratched the surface. We're not going to do another month of this podcast, but we've got a couple more minutes on this edition, this special edition for Drake's birthday.
What a great birthday present we
gave
him.
What a great birthday present. So I think...
Just by, like, vaguely talking shit for, like, 40 minutes.
Well, no, you gotta know what your failures were for the year so that you can improve upon them next year. So, like, basically, we're doing this review and this self-reflection for Drake.
The Drake podcast, an annual review.
I think we might have to bring this back next October to talk about whatever the hell...
Is Drake getting a raise this year?
We got to talk to management.
Yeah.
I don't know if Drake deserves a raise. I don't think Drake deserves a raise.
Well, let's go through some of his other performance, and then we can decide.
I just want to know at this point, though, like, what do we expect from Drake? And what, like, if him being shat on by Pusha T didn't make him hungry enough, like, what would have to happen?
But I think he is hungry enough. I don't think it's about that.
Scorpion would have been good then.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I think he thinks Scorpion was good.
That's the thing. I don't know if it's hunger so
Logic
much as like
his
ceiling.
Music is good too.
Hmm?
Logic thinks his music is good too. Everybody who makes music.
Well, I don't know why we bring a Logic into this. Like, we do enough Logic jokes. Like he did. He could have one podcast without somebody making jokes about him. But I agree. Like we think Logic thinks his music is good too. But that's the thing. I don't think it's the thing about Drake. I think he just has a ceiling and he's hit it.
Hmm. We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised. We're going to get something more from Drake in 2019. Whether it's another playlist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could sense the air quotes and the eye roll, but yeah, I think able to accept
that. I'm surprised that you're able to still see after rolling your eyes so hard there.
But I think there will be something, and I don't think this is going away.
Yeah.
That's just how it is now. Anyway, so to wrap up the performance review, I went through TMZ's items about Drake this year to kind of just get a smattering of the stuff that he did that wasn't about Pusha T. Though there's some of that in here too. So here's a lightly curated...
Why are TMZ's headlines structured like
they
this?
They are really upsetting, I learned from this. I never really noticed it before. They also all come in like, they're like four lines long. Anyway, I learned a lot about TMZ from this process. So here's a brief timeline. I'm going to just motor through them because there's a lot. If there's anything that anybody wants to talk about, feel free to stop me. Okay, so January 8th. Drake debuts renovated three-point shot, .. after grinding with Hoops Coach. So he's
paying, I don't care about
paying
that.
Somebody to learn how to play basketball. 31 years old. January 22nd, Drake mega expensive home renovation, YOLO. February 7th, Drake 50K gift will fund new shelter.
$50,000 yeah, gift.
I think that was for the God's Plan video, ultimately, which, you know, whatever. February 26th is Drake hits...
Oh, wait. Let's talk about the God's Plan video. Like, I do think Socialist Drizzy was one of the cooler things that happened this year, where he took money from a corporation and redistributed it to the poor.
Socialist Drizzy. Shout out to Socialist Drizzy.
So, yeah, I fuck with Socialist Drizzy. All That's right. What happens when you grow up with free healthcare, man.
It's true.
On to the next thing that happened after the God's Plan video, a short week later. Drake hits roller skating party, skates to own music.
Nice.
March 10th on Drake night at the Toronto Raptors arena, Drake trash talks Rockets then invites them to dinner, which that's Drake in a nutshell right there. March 15th, Drake Fortnite sesh with Ninja was no fake love, just God's plan, responding to accusations that it was corporate sponsorship. March 17th, Kanye and Drake's serious collab operation going down in Wyoming. We all know how that turned out. Then kind of nothing happens for a couple months, for a month at least. I really do wonder what happened in the month of April for Drake. But May 2nd, Drake blasts NBA player, quote, "You're a fucking pussy."
Who do you say that to?
Kendrick Perkins.
I don't know about that one.
he had to sense something was going on, especially now that we have this intel about what happened in Wyoming via LeBron show.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're getting erratic with this language that you don't usually use.
Also, apparently TMZ doesn't spicy. Swear in headlines. Fun to learn. Kendrick Perkins, 6'10", 270. Not someone I would want to
Yeah, no,
fight with.
Kendrick Perkins just looks like he grew up building railroads. Like, that is not someone, like, yeah, like, his hands are probably as big as Drake's face. Like, I don't know if that's a good idea, dude.
Okay, so following day, Drake gets a warning from NBA over, quote, bad language.
Reasonable.
May 29th, Pusha T reveals Drake has a secret son and new diss track. May 30th, Arian Foster on Drake's blackface pic. What the fuck is this? Fair.
We were all Arian Foster.
June 7th, Maury, hey Drake, come on my show if you want to find out if you are the father. That could have been an interesting way for things to go.
Yeah.
June 17th, Lil Yachty, Drake sucks at Fortnite. June 29th, Bella Hadid, no I didn't bang Drake, that's not me on Scorpion. July 10th, Drake cheering on Selena at Wimbledon, exes can be friends. July 18th, Drake Uber driver calls him and driver fucking idiot for dinging car. That's sad.
Wait, read that one again.
Drake Uber driver calls him and driver fucking idiot for dinging car. So I clicked on this one because the grammar is really confusing. Basically, Drake's driver opened up a door and hit an Uber. The cops got called.
Oh, this headline sounds like Drake was driving an Uber.
Not quite. Then the following day, he recovered quickly. Drake leads parade of smoking hot chicks. 2 days after that, Drake plays Ice Cream Man, drops $10,000 on frozen treats. He bought $10,000 of ice cream for the kids of Calabasas, California.
How many kids are in Calabasas? Isn't that like a rich place?
Yeah. The fucking kids of Calabasas can afford their own ice cream. Anyway.
August 20th, Drake visits 11-year-old heart patient after seeing her Kiki challenge. September 3rd, Kim Kardashian sources say rumor she hooked up with Drake is BS. September 14th, Drake no date with 18-year-old model to rebut Eric's libel in the opening segment. If you've stuck with us this long, yeah. we've clarified, not true according to the model. He is friends with Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, though.
Which is weird.
Yeah, whatever.
No matter how you slice it.
September 23rd, Drake best view in the six from my ballin' new basement. He's got a new mansion in Toronto, and he's put a basketball court in the basement.
Cool.
That's sick.
October 5th, Drake draped an Irish flag. I'm Team Connor.
That's not so sick.
History won't look kindly on that, I don't think.
Yeah.
October 14th, Drake invites LeBron on stage. So who's bigger? In a literal sense, it's definitely LeBron.
I mean, like, LeBron can't really invite Drake onto the court to, like, take some threes, you know? So, like, I don't know about that.
It's also building schools out here, so.
Yeah.
He's, team like, LeBron. My favorite person right now.
Not Team Connor.
Yeah, no. Not very, very much not Team LeBron.
October 18th. Drake drops bars, serves trays of Mickey D's at concert after party. And then today, October 23rd, or yesterday, I mean, Drake, Scooter Braun buy ownership stake in 100 Thieves esports brand. So Drake owns a professional video game team now.
It's quite the year.
Yeah, that feels telling. Like, start with learning how to shoot jumpers and end with buying an esports team. There's an arc there.
There's something there. We're not quite sure what.
Is he running in 2020?
He's Canadian, so he can't.
I don't know.
You gotta be born
when there's
States.
A Drake, there's a way.
Isn't Ted Cruz Canadian, too?
Yeah, Ted Cruz is Canadian.
Well, okay,
Drake's not 35.
It's true.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, 35. I'll take Kristen's point.
Well, I think, so I think, you know, I think the final thing that we need to do is that we got to sing Drake happy birthday.
I'm not going to do that.
It's his birthday.
That's okay. You're more than welcome to.
We sang him happy birthday last
just
year.
Play
yeah, Colin. It's true.
On your own time, play Ratchet Happy Birthday from Scorpion.
So we're going to sing Drake happy birthday right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to do it.
Yes. I agree that I will do that for sure.
Wait, which one? Are we doing like Stevie Wonder happy birthday?
Or just Wonder, like happy birthday. We're going to do normal happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Fine. All
right. And this is how
fuck
we're
going to... I promise you, Drake wants a Stevie Wonder one. If you don't know that one, just say you don't.
Trey wants runs.
So we're going to keep the tradition. We're going to sing happy birthday. And then this is it. This is the podcast about Drake.
All right. And I quit Noisy, so...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Drake. Happy birthday to you.
I had y'all for some
I wish
support.
You could look at y'all could see the way Colin looked at us the entire time he was singing this. He is furious.
Thank you very much for listening to this very special edition of October's Very Owned. I guess we'll probably see you next year.
Maybe.
If any of us are alive by then.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Quite the year. We managed to make this podcast a little bit shorter than Scorpion. And that
was the only goal.
That was the only goal. Thank you for listening. October's Very Owned, the only podcast that we know of that's about Drake.
Except OVO Radio.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.